All right, let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 13. We'll read one verse, verse 45. Well, what heavenly sounds we've been able to enjoy tonight. I love this singing. Matter of fact, we ought to turn one of these services into a singing. I'd enjoy it. Y'all get to enjoy it all the time. And you'd have to be an evangelist to appreciate good singing. I was in one meeting that all the music they had for the whole meeting was a dear elderly saint, a woman, played the organ for 15 minutes before I preached. I like organ music, but she worked for the funeral home. And man, it was dead when I got up. I said, man, I'm never going to complain about good singing. I'll tell you that. I love it. And I love the singing that goes on here. What a blessing it is. Good to have some more sinners with us tonight. I know that because they mentioned some preachers in the crowd. So we appreciate y'all being here. And always a joy to have God's men and, of course, all the folks that are here. Matthew chapter number 13 and verse, I believe I said 45, it's verse 44. I want to read that verse. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure. A treasure. Something very precious, a gem, hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth it for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. We've been emphasizing this matter of the parables, some 40 odd parables that Jesus spoke. The word parable simply means to throw down, lay down side by side objects and to look into one to see what may be in the other. And what Jesus does is he takes worlds that are so far apart and lays them down together and speaks heavenly truths to our hearts. The first world you'll find in every parable is the world of the natural. That's where you live. That's your life, L-I-F-E, whatever it is. But in the midst of that life, he shows us not only the natural, but he shows us in the natural, the spiritual. It is on earth that we found out about heaven. It was after the first birth we found out there was a second birth. It's through the natural wind that he pointed out that there is a heavenly wind. Everything we know about God, we found out in the physical. He shows us in the midst of the natural, the revelation of the heavenly. But also found in there is the individual. If you will look into any one of these parables, you will not only see the natural and the spiritual, but you will find yourself. That's what makes it genuine to you. It applies to your life. You look in there and say, hey, I was that prodigal for a time. Or I was that one that was half dead that was restored. Or I was that elder brother that was so bitter over my brother coming home. Oh, I see myself in the parable. There is a sense, as I have said, that all of us are short stories. We're all parables that he wants to step into your life and give it a heavenly meaning and a heavenly touch. Because within those parables, you will not only see the natural and the spiritual and the individual yourself, but you will see the eternal. Every parable has God in it. Standing somewhere in that parable, he's waving at you and saying, hey, I'm here. I want you to see me most of all. And no matter, again, I say to you, where you're at, what you're going through, what your life is made up of, Jesus wants to be a part of that and make it a heavenly experience while you're here on earth. We talked about that grace last night. Oh, aren't you glad for grace if you could see it, if you can see it. But tonight we have looked at this verse, and I want to emphasize this parable of the treasure. This parable of the treasure. I notice in this parable that there is a field. Did you notice that? That is the natural. There is a field. I notice that there is something in this field. And that which is major and prominent that is in this field is not the field itself nor the man, but it is the treasure that is found in that field. I mean, as I say, everybody's looking for a treasure. Maybe treasures of gold, treasures of gems, treasures of artifacts, treasures found on sunken ships or in secret places. Everybody wants to find that treasure. But the question is, what is this treasure? We have this field, and we have this treasure, and we have this man who finds it. But what is it? I pondered that for so long. Oh, what is the treasure? But then I looked in the text, and it was there all along. The treasure, he said, was the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine this day when this poor sharecropper, no doubt, because he doesn't own the field, working the field, is walking along, plowing along, doing whatever he had to do that day, and he comes upon a treasure. Now, this is not just any treasure. This is the treasure of the kingdom. But not just any kingdom. He has come. Oh, it would be something if you plowed up a kingdom. This any kingdom has a lot of treasure in it. But this is not what he plows up or what he comes upon. He comes upon in this field a treasure, which is the treasure, and it is the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. You know what makes up the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven. Everything that heaven is in that kingdom. So it means at one point and at one time, he walks upon, catches his attention, and he sees all, not a part, not a portion. He sees all that the kingdom of heaven is. Wow. Do you think maybe, no wonder that he reacted like he did? He just walked along. Woo! Man. Yeah. You see, right there in one place in his life, in one field, he sees God.
Well, listen.
Amen. Well, that's what the kingdom of heaven is. It is God.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Right there in the kingdom, he sees the Son of God. Who, by the way, according to the scriptures, is our treasure. In whom are hid all the treasures, the Bible said, speaking of Christ. In one place, he sees God. He sees the Son of God. He sees the Spirit of God. He sees the Word of God. He sees the love of God. He sees the grace of God. He sees faith that comes from God. In other words, in one place, he sees it all. The kingdom of heaven. He sees the children of God. He sees the church of God. He sees the righteousness of God. He sees the will of God. He sees the promises of God. He sees it all. The fullness of the kingdom of God. No wonder it has moved him. But he does not stand alone. Because I could take you to the place and the time when I too, for the first time, I could take you, I say I could take you to where I saw the kingdom. Now I have never comprehended all that I saw. Nor have I experienced all that I saw. But I came upon the kingdom as a whole. That day when Christ showed up and showed me all that the kingdom is. Romans 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He said again, Jesus said in Luke 17, the kingdom of God is within you. Here we have presented to this man in his world, in his natural environment, the revelation of the kingdom of heaven. And my, oh my, how it has touched him. How it has moved him. But not only him, but everyone that's ever come across the kingdom of heaven. Not just a kingdom. But the kingdom of heaven. Now let's read it again. I'm going to give you three thoughts about this matter of the parable of the kingdom of heaven. Yes. By the way, there is a sense in which all of us are parables. But what Jesus wants to do is bring his kingdom into your parable. He wants you to be able to experience his treasure in your life. Not when you get to heaven, honey, but right here where you're at. For you to be able to experience all that the kingdom is. That you don't wait till you get to heaven to have joy. You don't wait till you get to heaven to have peace. You don't wait till you get to heaven to have grace. You don't wait to get to heaven to exercise faith. That'll happen right here in your world. If you ever see the kingdom. What would you do? I was just minding my own business. I was like him. That day, I was minding my own business, living my own life as it was where I was at, and came upon the kingdom of heaven. You say, how deep was it? I couldn't measure it. How wide was it? I still ain't been able to measure it. I can't get to the end of it, but I know I saw it. Look at the verse again. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field, which when a man hath found it, he hideth it for the joy thereof. Go and selleth all that he hath, and he buyeth the field. I'm going to ask you something. How do you know that you have this treasure? It is the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, if you're going to experience heaven you're going to have the treasure. They come together. Heaven and the treasure. But how can we know that we have this treasure? Let me point out three things. First of all, evident from the text, I would say to you that you will know you possess this great treasure only when it possesses you. I am not a motivational speaker. I have not come to convince you of anything. All I know is what happened to me is I got possessed. Within this treasure, as he sees it, he recognizes it right off. He realizes it. This is a treasure. He prioritizes it, man. I mean, he begins to work to that end. He prizes it. He finalizes it, and he radicalizes it. His whole world becomes about one thing. You know anybody like that? They found something that something consumed their whole life. Huh? Somebody said, what happened to you? I'm going to tell you something. I found the treasure found me. It reached out and grabbed me. It got my attention so that once I got my sight on the treasure, I never got my sight off the treasure. I see the treasure everywhere I'm at. He's gripped. He can never stop seeing it because he saw it. He is so possessed, you can tell in the text spiritually, because it's the kingdom of heaven. Heaven's grabbed him. Has heaven ever got a hold of you? It has affected him emotionally. Who for the joy? Huh? It'll stir you. It grasped him physically. It began to motivate him to where he's headed back. He's going to go back and settle up some things. It has captivated him mentally within his mind. He has already laid out what is going to take place to where not only will this treasure be all to him, but he will be all to the treasure. Yes. Yes. Now it is all about the kingdom of heaven. And I say to you, child of God, is it not true in your life? I don't care what stage you're living. I don't care what age you're living. I don't care where you're living and what you're going through where you live. Isn't it still about Christ? The one thing. Totally. The world cannot understand that. But I spend no time trying to explain the treasure to the world. No, I just proclaim the treasure. But if you ever see it, I won't have to explain it. You'll know what it's all about. That's why I love coming to the house of God with the saints of God, because all we do is sing about our treasure, preach about our treasure, talk to them, testify about our treasure. And I love to hear you talk about the part of the treasure you saw today, and you love to hear me to preach about the part of the treasure I saw today. And there's so much in that treasure that you can never get to the end of it nor exhaust it, so we can be overjoyed and rejoice.
Oh, yes. Amen. Amen.
And the thing I like about it, I don't have to get up here for 30 minutes, 40 minutes and try to convince you of a treasure. You already been possessed by that treasure. You know it's there. You have seen it. And it has possessed you. It has got a hold of you. Now, I was pastoring up in the mountains of North Carolina, pastoring this young man. At that time, he was probably 30 or so. He'd been raised in church. And his family had come to that church as long as I'd been there, and long before that. And he had professed, he sang, you know, and done whatever he could help with the church all about, and I never questioned him about his salvation. I'd never heard him talk about the treasure, but I mean, you know, I didn't question nothing. But I remember one night, I forget about how, maybe it was 1 o'clock in the morning, I got a phone call. And it was his voice. I couldn't even understand him on the other side. He was squalling and crying, screaming. He said, "I got to meet you at the church. Just meet me at the church." I said, "Okay, I'll meet you at the church." I got down at the church waiting on him. I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes, he slid in sideways. He ran through that basement door. He ran up to the top. He ran through the vestibule. He ran down. He slid into the altar. He didn't even tell me anything. He just started crying out to God, "Lord, I'm lost. Lord, save me." He got up out of there and with tears wiping his eyes. Then he began to tell me how God had been dealing with how lost he was. And he saw it when he saw the treasure. And he told me on the next Sunday morning in tears, he said, "Preacher, I was so possessed that if the Dallas Cowboy front line had been at that door, I'd have tackled every one of them. I had to get saved." Hallelujah. That's what I call being possessed. I love it when folks get so possessed, all you got to do is get out of the way. Because they have been captivated. Oh, can I say to you, you'll know that you possess this possession of the treasure when it first possesses you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes.
And it will possess you.
Amen. Amen.
Secondly, I want to say to you, you will know that you possess this treasure of treasures when it possesses you to turn from all your possessions that get stands between you and the treasure.
Amen. Well, yes,
automatically, he figured in his heart and mind and soul that there was not room for two worlds in his heart. It was either going to be those possessions or this possession. And it didn't take him all day to figure it out. He, in a hurry, scurried back to take care of getting rid of his previous possessions. doing away with his previous possessions. He was not going to allow that world to keep him from enjoying this world. I'm going to tell you, when that possession of the kingdom of heaven gets a hold of your heart, you're going to want to get rid of the kingdom of hell.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're going to run it out.
Yes,
Man, I'm telling you, all of that activity, all of that spirit, all of that ways, everything that's in your past, it seems as though that instantaneously it means nothing to you anymore. Everything that I'd ever been taught and raised in as a pagan there in the hills of West Virginia, once I met Christ, it meant nothing to me. But honey, it won't make any difference whether it is sin in a heathen way or it's sin in a religious way. It was Paul who was filled to the brim with his own kingdom. He'd done built his religious kingdom. And he said, when I met Jesus, I said, I'm done with religion. I'm done. I count it as done. I'm away from that. I'm not going to get into that. You don't have to be forced. You don't have to be pushed. You don't have to be pulled. You don't have to be tranquilized. You don't have to be convinced. Something got a hold of you and possess you to get rid of all your possessions. He went back and settled all the old accounts and said, I'm taking nothing of this with me. It ain't going back with me. You'll know that you possess the possession of the treasure when you're done with all the other treasures and all the other possessions. Huh? Oh, soon gonna be 47 years ago. That I saw a possession. I mean a treasure. And she's sitting right there. Did I ever tell y'all about that? I was going to school down here at Tabernacle in Greenville, South Carolina. Minding my own business. 18, 19 years old, enjoying going down there and going around listening to preaching and being in Bible, minding my own business. An old boy from the mountains of North Carolina moved down there and he didn't have any place to stay. So they sent him over to where I was and said, you know, y'all can stay and you know, pay the bills together and everything. I said, that'd be fine with me. One day he came into my room and I was trying to study, minding my own business. He said, hey, Brother Dana, I need to read you a Dear John letter. I said, who's he? I didn't even know who John was. He said, it's my girlfriend. She's broke up with me, and I want to read you the letter. I said, well, okay, I wasn't much interested. He began to read the letter. Now, I wasn't even thinking about dating. I mean, I'm minding my own business. And the more he read that letter, the more it captivated me. She said, I want you to serve God. I want to serve God. I'm praying for you that the Lord will use you and use me, but I just don't feel like that it's the Lord's will that we serve him together. She got done reading that letter and I said, you got a picture of her? He said, yeah, I'll be right back. I've still got the picture. He went in there. He brought that picture out of there. It was her high school graduation picture. Now, I'm telling you the truth. I ain't no Benny the Hen or nothing like that. TBN evangelist. But I'm telling you now. I'm telling you. The God of heaven who opened up the treasure to my soul. Let me look at that picture, and I saw that in the treasure. The Holy Ghost said, I've had this in here for you.
Amen.
I said, really? He said, yeah, go get her. I looked at that old boy. I didn't tell him the conversation between me and the Lord. I said, when's the next time you're going home? He said, 2 weeks. I said, I believe I'll go with you. I went up there to that little mountain church where she was playing the piano the morning I got there. Don't ask me what they sang, what they preached. I wasn't being up there for that. I was up there to see my treasure. And oh, can I say to you, thank God I saw the treasure that was in the treasure. She came out of that for that treasure. God had her in there all along. I didn't know it. I couldn't see deep enough, but thank God I did on that day. And from that day to this, I never even thought about dating anybody, any other woman. I went hog wild. I'd go down there and I'd work, and then I'd go to school. But I couldn't wait until Friday night. I didn't care how much the gas cost me in that Volkswagen. I was going to see my treasure. Huh? Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's a treasure that will cause you to give up everything else that will keep you from the treasure.
Yeah, man.
And it's no cost at all to you to be able to walk away from that to get to this.
Amen, preacher. Yeah.
I mean, to be able to worship with the people of God that's in the treasure, to be able to study the Word of God that's in the treasure, to be able to worship the Son of God that's in the treasure, to be able to enjoy the Spirit of God that's in the treasure, to be able to walk by the faith that God give you that's in the treasure, to be able to live in the grace of God that's in the treasure. Why would you want anything else? I say to you, you'll know that you have this treasure when this treasure, when it, the possession of this treasure possesses you, but it possesses you to forsake everything else that will keep you from the possession. I like what Hebrews 11:26 said, Moses esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Joe Parsons, I understand, preached here a lot. Probably back in the, it died, I think, in 76. But it had the greatest impact on my life, and I never heard him preach that much. But I heard him say, one of his tapes, he was preaching in a church, and there was a wealthy man there that was a good Christian. He emphasized that. But he said, that man said to him, Joe, I'd give everything I've got to be able to walk with Christ like you do. And I wondered, what would you say to a man like that? Only Joe could say this. He said, I told him, that's exactly what it'll cost. That's exactly, if you're going to, understand now, if you may have the treasure, but if you're going to enjoy the treasure, you're going to have to get rid of all those things that will keep you from the treasure.
Yeah,
amen. My last thought. To know that you have this treasure, you must be possessed by it. And this possession of this treasure will cause you to give up all of the possessions that would keep you from enjoying this treasure. But lastly, can I say to you, you will know that you possess this treasure, and others will know that you possess this treasure when you live out of this treasure. I'm going to tell you something. He didn't give us something that we could just look at. He gave us something to live out of. Everything in the treasure of the kingdom of heaven, as I've already told you, has a purpose for your life, the Christian life, on earth. A lot of folks think that all of these things are what's going to we'll enjoy when we get to heaven. No, no, no. It is something that God activates within your heart and your life while you are here. Now, I told you last night, as a kid, I was very poor. When I went to school, I lied a lot, because I wanted other folks to think I had what they had. They'd ride their new bicycle, I'd say, I got two of them. They'd say, well, why ain't you riding them? They pretty well knew I didn't have two bicycles. They had on a new pair of shoes. I said, I got a new pair of shoes. They said, don't look like it. I said, well, they're at the house. They said, well, why ain't you wearing them? Everything they had that they possessed so that they could live on the level that they lived, I didn't have, but I tried to convince them of it. But the convincing didn't work, because they watched me and they saw what I did not have. I did not possess, and I could not convince them with the best of my lies that I had anywhere near close to what they had. But did you notice this man? He separates himself from all of the possessions that are here. I'm sure that some of his family said, you'll starve to death. You'll never make it. You've gone crazy. You'll come running back before long. Yeah, you'll be back before long. You'll be sorry of what you've done here. But see, they don't know what he knows. They've not seen what he's seen. And they've not been possessed by what he's been possessed by. And it doesn't bother or shake him a bit to leave every bit of that and come back to where the possession is. Because what he knows is he can live and draw the rest of his life out of those possessions.
Oh, yes, preacher.
So much so that it had to affect anybody else that did not know the possessions about his living, because he lived as though he had more than what they could explain. How come you're acting the way you're acting? He said, I know something you don't know. I know where to go. I know where the resources is. I have found the kingdom. Think about that. The whole kingdom of heaven at his fingertips. It is his. And no matter what his need is, he's got some powerful things in there.
Oh, listen. Yes, yes.
Amen. Amen.
You remember the first time you found out about prayer that came out of the kingdom?
Oh, my, preacher.
Huh? Amen. Finding out about the resource of the power of being able to speak to your Father. Wow. Do you remember the day when you found out about the resource of his grace? And we've been singing and preaching about it this week. Do you remember when you found out about the resource that came and comes from his blood that washed you and forgave you and changed your life? I mean, it doesn't make any difference. Listen to me, children. Whatever you need today, today is already in there.
Yes, sir. Yes, yes, yes.
It's just a matter of you going and drawing off the resources of the kingdom. Oh, the power of the Word of God that we can draw from continually. The blessedness of the fellowship of the saints that is ours as God has assembled us together. And on those resources that we have. Because of what we see, what we've experienced of the vastness of the supply of the kingdom that comes through the treasure himself, who is Christ. And what a treasure that is. So much so, I had a lady tell me just recently, 80 years old, she just got saved. A year ago.
Amen. Amen.
And when you look into her eyes, you look into eternity. The prettiest blue eyes of an 80-year-old woman who just got saved. And the treasure possessed her. And she said to me gently last week, she was in a meeting where I was at, and she put her hand on mine and she said, "Preacher," looked up in the big blue eyes, she said, "My sister, who was a twin, told me she wanted what I have." You know, when folks want what you've got is when you're living out of what you have. You found the treasure and the abundance of it, and you're utilizing it in your life. And others who are sinners, they've never seen that treasure, but they can see that you've got something that they need and they want. They want that peace. They want that joy. This world wants it, but you can't have it unless you get it out of the kingdom. It comes out of the kingdom. The kingdom of God. Drawing out of the resources. You see, you can know that you possess this treasure when it possesses you. You can know you possess this treasure when it possesses you to get rid of all the possessions that would keep you from it. But you can know you have this possession only when you're experiencing it. You are experiencing it and drawing out of it and living that. That you have. I was thinking about a lady up in the mountains. Her name was Marcel Harrison. She had a daughter, little Margaret, that had cerebral palsy. Margaret was 35 and Marcel was 75. I remember the day when I walked in that home. It was just a little old boxed house up one of those hollers. And it was like I was walking into the kingdom of heaven. Nothing fancy, everything just mundane. But oh, you could just sense heaven on earth. God had so moved and worked in her life as she took care of this little Margaret. Long story behind it. As she would bathe or brush her teeth for all of those years. I loved to go there just to listen to her pray. So much God in that little home. I remember the day, one day I walked out of that little house up the little walkway, and I don't normally talk to the devil, but I did that day. I said, "Oh, devil, if you got to go in there, I feel sorry for you." Full of God. She just trusted him for everything. And I remember back in 1993 when we had that snow, that heavy snow. Some places in Jonas Ridge had 40 inches of snow. We had their Green Valley less than anybody, and it was 2 feet. But it was so cold that you couldn't get out, and the roads so bad, stayed down below freezing for so long, and the power was off in two or three counties across that mountain. And I thought about Marcel and little Margaret being in that little house without power. And I prayed for them. Had no cell phones then. You couldn't just pick up a phone and call anybody, and there wasn't any. The power was out. Phone service was out. But it was all said and done. I got a hold of her. And I said, Sister Marcel, how did you and little Margaret fare during this great storm? Do y'all remember that 93 storm? She said, oh, we did fair. We did real good. I said, you did real good. She said, yeah. She said, as a matter of fact, preacher, she said, my brother Lawrence lives down below me, and I knew Lawrence said he told me his power's out several days. I said, really? He said, yeah, my neighbor lives up above me. Mr. Silvers told me his power was out several days. I said, everybody's power was out for several days. She said, not mine. Now, I have told this story and felt like people just thought, well, that's just an exaggeration. But there's a Nathan Silvers that pastors at Grassy Creek in Spruce Pine. That he lived, it was his daddy that lived the house above. And he was just a young boy, about 10 or 12 years old during that snow. I was preaching for him one day, and we were just sitting eating lunch, and he said, brother, and we through our talk, I found out where he lived, and I said, did you know, and she's in heaven now, I said, did you know Marcel Harrison? And he said, well, yes, I did, said we lived above her. I said, really? He said, preacher, I'm going to tell you a story you won't believe. I said, okay. I didn't know what he was going to say. He said, 1993, a snow come through here, a deep one. Ice cold and power was off everywhere. And said, my daddy told me, said, Nathan, you can call him and ask him. Go up there and visit him. He said, his daddy said, Nathan, you get down there to Marcel's house, and I don't care how long it snows or how much it snows, you keep that out of her driveway. And he said, preacher, I went down there and said I was shoveling snow as fast as I could. And I looked over and I saw lights in the window. He said, hey, it can't be no lights. He said, this is a boy. He said, I went around the side of the house and I saw lights inside the house on that, in the window. He said, I laid my shovel down, run up to the house and said, daddy, Marcel's got power. He said, she can't have power, son. There ain't nobody got power in two or three counties. He said, she does have power. And he said, preacher, believe it or not, her power never went off. Amen. You said, well, how can that happen? Well, listen, that's all in the kingdom.
Sure.
Amen.
Yes.
Who knows what God's got ready for you in the kingdom?
Amen.
That you're going to be able to live out of. And I can just hear the Lord now saying to Gabriel, you get down there and you make sure the lights don't go out. Just don't tell Duke Power about it. You see, it's a blessed thing to live out of the riches that we have in Christ so that others can see that in this natural world, there is something beyond this world. That we're able to experience that will take care of us in this world. And somebody said, well, preacher, look at what's coming out of Washington. Look at their plans. Look at how they're headed in our direction. Look at how they hate the church. What are we going to do? The same thing we're doing now. Live out of the treasure. There'll be enough eternity in there. It'll take you to eternity. The riches, of His grace.
Yes. Amen.
Have you ever thought about how much you got in the treasure that you have in Christ? In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In other words, it'll never run out. Why, they ain't no wonder that when he was walking along or plowing along, whatever he was doing, oh my goodness. I gotta have that. I'm gonna get that. I don't want nothing but that. I think that'll take care of everything. And the resources of the treasure. You have all that God has to offer.
Yes.
If that ain't enough, I don't know what to tell you. And oh, there's a lot of people walk right by that. Don't mean a thing to them. Don't touch them. Don't move them. I mean, they'll drive by this church. Some folks will even come into this. Some folks have sat in this congregation for no doubt years.
Oh, my preacher.
And it's meant nothing to them. But I'm glad that every now and then, this is why I love preaching, every now and then, somewhere in the midst of while I'm preaching, I can see in somebody's eyes, they just saw it.
Yeah.
And when they do, it's over. They're going to start living by faith out of the treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure. And I say this in closing. There is no more God sitting on the throne of heaven but what's not in your heart. Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, child of God, what he wants to do is come down into your short story, and that's what you are. He wants to come down into your parable, and he wants to bring all he's got with him. He wants to bring all he is with him so that out of that treasure, he will supply all of your needs.
Amen.
According to his riches and glory.
Amen. Amen.
The treasure.
Hallelujah.
Where your heart is, that's where your treasure.
Yes.
Where treasure
is,
that's where your heart
sir.
Is.
Yes, sir.
And that's why he wants to get into your little story. 14 years old, he got into my story. My short story.
Amen.
And he brought it all with him.
Amen, preacher. Yeah.
He said, I'm coming in and I'm bringing everything I am. I'm bringing the whole kingdom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I won't leave a thing in heaven that I won't put in you. Woo! Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're not the ragtag salesmen of some gospel truth, honey. We're living out of the treasure of Christ. When he came into that little heart, into that little story, into your little parable, where you were at, who you were, and what you're going through, he brought it all.
Why yet?
He brought the unsearchable riches of Christ. I'm feeling pretty wealthy right now.
Amen.
Because all the resources of heaven was poured in.
Yes.
so I could live out of it. He's living out of what he got into. And that's what the Christian life is. He's saying, I want to be in the parable of your life, your treasure, and all of your treasure. Let's stand by our heads. I'll ask my wife if she will come and play. Children, if you got the treasure, just draw off from it and live out of it. And you'll find out it'll be more than enough to get through the natural. This is a heavenly treasure given to take care of the natural.
Woo. Yes, yes.
I'm glad it's more than enough, aren't you?
Yes.
You listen as she sings. Maybe you got a need and you just sort of forgot to look in the treasure. You'd like to just come and look to him.
And my
to find the sufficiency for the need that you've got where you're at. What do you need? It's in him. You listen as she sings.
Come and sit at my table. A meager supply you might find.
Oh, there's that supply.
But oh, it's not what you see that makes me a king, makes me a king for me. I've everything and all that I need, all that I need of treasures unseen. Now God made a world filled with beauty of things we enjoy every day. My secret to hidden possessions is to love him and serve him each day. And oh, it's not what you see that makes me a king. It makes me a king for me. I've everything and all that I need. Treasures unseen.
Seeing that treasure will allow you to experience things that this world cannot even imagine on an everyday level. Dear sister up at Bakersfield, I was talking to her on the phone. I used to pastor her, first church I pastored. She's 91 years old. I asked her one day, I said, how is it, I mean, to live long enough to where everybody you know is already gone? She said, I don't know. I guess they're wondering if I've made it or not. But she said, I'm going. And she said, preacher, God meets my need on such a level that I have to be careful what I think, because he'll meet it. I want to make sure that it's not a selfish thought. And she said just the other day, she said, I don't cook much because I eat by myself. And I was going through the house thinking about what I'd like to eat, maybe if I had it or not. And she said, I don't know why I thought of it, but she said, it'd been a long time since I'd had a hamburger and fries. But I didn't have no hamburger meat. And of course, she said, I didn't have the fries. And she said, but I thought I'll just go in there and find what I got, and that'll be enough. And she said, I turned to walk into the kitchen, and a knock was at the door. She said, I went to answer the door, and she said, a man of our church was standing there, and guess what he had? Hamburger and fries. You say, I don't believe that. That's in the treasury.
Yes.
Everything you need is in that treasure. To be found and to be experienced. In your little story, he's got things yet to be discovered
Oh, yes.
in the treasury. Come ahead, brother.